Today FM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the electric car for the people.
It's time now for Tech Tuesday with Andy O'Donoghue. We're going to spend a bit of time later talking about all of the new gadgets that are being unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. But before we get to that, Andy, we've done this before, but I think we need to do it again. The issue of tech help for homeschooling, because I suspect there are lots of people who are struggling at the moment at home with having the required equipment to allow for their children to get digital homeschooling, and also with Wi-Fi issues. Let's start first of all though with laptops and tablets, because if there are people on a budget, are there good, reliable, cheap options available for them to purchase now?
There absolutely are, Matt. And the first thing that parents need to decide is, do they need to buy a laptop, one of those, you know, high spec, full functioning laptops, or will a tablet suffice? And if you're going to buy a tablet, you can buy really good value tablets. Under 100 euros will buy you a decent one. But, you know, maybe 139 euros for something like the Huawei MediaPad is fantastic value. And in making that decision, you need to kind of consider, well, what are the kids going to be doing at home? Are they just going to be reading and studying? Or is there an amount of interaction? Do they need to watch some videos? Do they need to use a laptop for something? But most of the younger kids, Matt, a tablet will suffice. And then, of course, you have options within that sort of market as well.
Yeah, I suppose a lot depends on whether your child is in early or later stages of primary school or is into secondary school. If the child is going to be required maybe to submit written work via the internet, which would suggest that they need something with a keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. And if they're going to be doing written work, they do need a keyboard. But because of the homeschooling has sort of changed over the, since March, and it has become very collaborative. And so older children will probably need a laptop or certainly a tablet with a camera, because they'll have to do, you know, video conferencing with their teacher. They're going to need a decent enough camera on that. And, you know, it's funny because I've heard anecdotal stories about, kids collaborating with each other unaware that their teacher can hear them. And so there's all those considerations that that parents need to make. But, you know, buying a decent laptop, you don't have to spend a lot of money because, you know, depending on what you're doing, something like, the Chromebooks, the Google Chromebooks, of which there's a massive array in the market running from, you know, just over 200 euros to maybe 700 or 800 euros. But they're still incredibly decent machines to use, but also not expensive compared to a fully featured MacBook or Dell computer.
Okay, so you gave us one recommendation of a tablet. Have you any others that you can recommend?
Yeah, well, there's a couple. First of all, the Huawei MediaPad is excellent value at 139 euros. And if they're still in stock in Irish retailers, they make a great option. Of course, there's the iPad, which is now, I think, 399 or slightly less for education. And that's the new 10-inch iPad. And that's the favorite of many sort of schools who've gone kind of the digital learning route even before COVID. From a tablet perspective, there's also, you know, there's the Surface Go tablet, which is Microsoft, which is expensive enough, but it would also, you know, you might be able to kind of double job here, Matt. So, you know, you can buy maybe a decent tablet for the kids to use and then use it for work or for entertainment. You know, it's good sofa tablet. And the Samsung Galaxy S4 is one I particularly like. And, 10.5 inch, it's got an exceptional screen and great speakers. So again, kind of doubles up.
And I think there are various schemes available as well to provide financial support to people who have a genuine issue with spending that money, particularly if you have a large number of children in the house.
Yeah, there are a number of programs, and we've seen that's a really good initiative because, you know, the going back a couple of years ago when schools started to go digital, we saw various things like companies doing loans and the credit unions doing programs. We do need more of this because, of course, we don't know how long it's going to last. And, you know, if you have 3 or 4 kids in the house, any assistance that you can avail of is worthwhile.
OK, now, of course, then if you have that many children in the house at the one time and maybe you're working as well, What about Wi-Fi? I mean, is everybody going to be able to get on at the same time?
Well, and the answer is sadly often no, because, you know, there's going to be smartphones in a household these days. There's going to be laptops. There might be things like smart bulbs and Alexa dotted around the house. So you could have a lot more devices on your network than you think. And whilst if you have, say, a reasonable mid to high level broadband connection, which might be maybe, you know, the 50 or 100 meg broadband, you know, that will suffice for watching movies. But if kids are doing homework during the day and you have one or two parents also working, you need to think about fixing your Wi-Fi. And that doesn't necessarily mean upgrading your package and paying more money to do that. It might be as simple as extending the network range. And so one of the things that I have seen work really well for people is adding what's called a mesh network. The one that I like the best and it's great value is the Google Nest Wi-Fi. The way that that works, Matt, is there's a router that plugs into your broadband modem, and then you have these little points, and you get one initially, but you can put them around the house, and it creates this mesh of Wi-Fi signal. So usually most of us have a great signal in the living room where our broadband router is, and then upstairs or down the end of the house, somebody's got a crap signal, which is dreadful. So the mesh network can fix that and extend your signal around the house, keep everybody happy while they're online at once. And I think the Google Nest system supports up to 200 devices at once. It's €136. And if you have a bad signal around your house, that's the first thing I would try.
Okay, and where would you get that? I mean, that's something obviously you can get online and delivered relatively quickly, is it?
Yeah, online, the Irish Google store, and you can order today, I believe.
Okay, let's move to other things, because normally at this time of year, we end up talking about the things that are unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which is going ahead this year as a virtual event. Does that mean it's downscaled a bit, given that maybe many of the normal exhibitors feel it's not worth their while if they can't sell directly to distributors at the event in Las Vegas?
Well, it's downscaled somewhat. I mean, so there is no physical show this year, and there's going to be an online only show. And, you know, this would usually be, I think, 3 million square feet of exhibit space. And the city of Las Vegas, I mean, I think they're probably a little bit bitter. Apparently, $170 million is gone in direct revenue. And that's hotels, taxis and meals, about $300 million lost to the city alone. But there will still be about 2,000 exhibitors. And CES have been quite clever. They've reduced the cost to display. So if you want to be an exhibitor at this year's CES, it started at about $1,200 to get your product there. And then the big firms had much bigger sort of online sites and live press conferences and all of that. But the attendance looks like it's going to be good because, Matt, honestly, the question is, what else are journalists doing? And so the opportunity to log in and have a look has already, I mean, the show started yesterday. And as ever, there's some fascinating stuff. And also with CES, some of that quackery that we see.
Yeah, I believe televisions are back in vogue, maybe because so many people are stuck in their house. And you're getting things like a transparent television. Now, what's that and why would you want one?
Oh, it's funny. And you say televisions are back. I mean, the whole tech business last year, Matt, was up 17% because of lockdown. We're spending so much money on hi-fi and TVs and stuff. The transparent television is fascinating. LG's transparent TV, it's 55-inch. For any of your listeners who want to Google it, I mean, it is remarkable to look at. And you can see through it. It's about 40% transparent. The idea of this is that it's not really for home. It's for shops and clubs and restaurants and places where you can watch the TV but see what's going on behind it as well, which is almost sort of this holographic effect that it does. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to buy one soon, but it is again an illustration of how fast TV tech is evolving.
Okay, and also the rollable phone has moved forward as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was also LG as well. So Samsung and Huawei have, you know, done these foldable phones that have these beautiful big screens. LG have teased their rollable phone. One of them, believe it or not, rolls to an incredible 17-inch screen. So this is essentially that idea of the rolled-up newspaper in the old days. And again, not sure when we're going to see it. But this is the great thing about CES. You see these kind of concept devices that do shape the future.
Tell us about the Kohler Smart Bath.
Yeah, love this idea. I remember this time last year, Matt, we were talking about Kohler's Smart Loos that they had at CES. Now they've got a Smart Bath, and it's a very attractive looking bath, the sort of one that you see in posh hotel rooms and the likes. But it now comes with a fog machine, lights, and an essential oil dispenser. And if you buy the fancy version, there's a wooden moat that goes around the bath, and you control it all with an app, hopefully from a waterproof smartphone. And you can fill the bath up, control the smoke and the lights, and you get this infinity pool experience. The water cascades over the edge of your bath and into the moat, much like most parents will be familiar with children doing for much less money at home. But it's a great, you know, it's a sign that people are willing to spend and think about invest in their homes at the moment.
Okay, give us some of the more offbeat products which may have been inspired by lockdown. Start with the Bio Button.
Okay, Bio Button is fascinating and unquestionably about the size of a €2 piece, sticks to your upper chest, has some adhesive, and it uses sensors to continuously track skin temperature, your heart rate, activity level. But it collects enough data to identify if you have symptoms of coronavirus. So even if you didn't notice you were sick, and they're doing, the people who make it, BioIntelliSense, have this collaboration with the American College of Cardiology, with the idea of using it as a screening tool. So for people who may be asymptomatic and who may be frontline workers, it does sound like a very clever idea, because you mightn't know that you're sick, but it will identify if you have symptoms indicating that you could be positive.
I don't know how you pronounce this furry robot, the Petit Kubu.
Petit Kubu. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is Petit Kubu. Unsurprisingly, this is Japanese. And it's like a cat, but without a head, legs, and as they said, or fleas. And it's a sort of a round, fuzzy ball. And it is basically designed, it's a robot that's designed to make you feel less alone. We've seen this incredible take up of people getting cats and dogs. For love nor money, apparently, you can't get a dog at the moment. And so this is the idea of this, is that it's a little bit like, remember those Japanese toys that were launched in the 80s that you had to look after? This is a robot that you look after, and it sort of helps with your well-being. And you know,
Tamagotchis, isn't that what they were called?
Tamagotchi, that's right. Tamagotchi.
That's it, yeah.
And so it just helps you to live in solitary conditions with a little bit of comfort. $100 available in Japan at the moment, and I suspect that they'll be available worldwide soon.
Tell us about Garden, with a Y where the E should be.
Yeah, so Garden, food has become very important during the pandemic. And so we've seen everything from the yeast shortage to sourdough manufacturing in every kitchen around the country. And it's a plug-in home gardening machine, lets you cultivate fresh greens indoors, uses a little bit of artificial intelligence. And so the idea is, I really love these kind of ideas. And I've had a home garden that uses light to promote the growth of seeds for a couple of years. And this is, they run this with the garden runs with a subscription. So you get your seeds, and it's a home garden, but it uses a bit of artificial intelligence to give you the best chance of success in growing stuff, just in case you don't have green fingers.
Okay, and I think you have one other one for us to finish off, a thing called an AirPop Active Plus. What's this?
Yeah, this was this. I only received the press release for the AirPop Halo sensor today, and so the AirPop Active Smart Mask. So it is essentially, it looks like the PPE that we're all familiar with a little filter on the side. But there's a sensor in this, and it tracks the wearer's breathing, and it will notify you on an app on your phone when it's time to change the snap-in filters. Blocks about 99% of dust and allergens and microbial particles. And I think you get 4 supplied filters with it. And you know, Matt, this caught my eye today as one of those things. It's €150 with the 4 filters. And it struck me that this is the sort of thing that we are likely to see more of, even post-vaccine over the next year or two. And I have to say, really great innovation. And it's the kind of stuff that I'm glad CES are promoting this year.
Andy O'Donoghue, thank you as ever for joining us on Tech Tuesday here on The Last Word of Today FM.
Today FM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the electric car for the people.